Friends, you probably recognize Karen from the previous video about the worldwide exorcism in 40 days. Now we are 12 to 14 days away. And you could imagine in organizing something like this, of course, there would be spiritual warfare. And guess who? Guess against who? Cardinal Simoni, who's the cardinal exorcist. So we're going to begin by invoking the souls in purgatory to pray for him, that everything happened, that he's able to be there. And then Karen's going to tell us everything that's been going on with that. So let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with all the masses set throughout the world today, for all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, for sinners in the universal church, those in my own home and within my family. Amen. Souls in purgatory, please pray for this conference, especially for Cardinal Simoni. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Karen, tell us about what's been going on behind the scenes, because I always think that if something is being attacked, that means it's important. That means it's dangerous in terms of, you know, against the kingdom of Satan, which is what we want. We want it to be threatening to him. Tell us what's been going on.
Well, I think, I don't know if I mentioned it to you on the last time, but Cardinal Simoni was pushed down by a gypsy in Italy, and he was hospitalized. They even thought he might not make it. And he had two bones broken in his hands, and he knew it was Satan's attack. So within a short amount of time, his cast was taken out. He was completely better. You know, he was 100%. So attacks keep coming. I mean, like, the whole team is being attacked. Everything, every level of this conference is being attacked. And that's why we really need the prayers of the faithful, because I think it's going to do a worldwide good. I think this is, as you said, threatening to the evil one. Cardinal Simoni, he went to Medjugorje. Did you see that?
I didn't see that, but you had mentioned it previously.
Yes, and he blessed the people, but people are afraid to let him go. It's just a lot of things, and he's ready, willing, and able. That's the whole thing. And the one thing after another is happening, and it's just not just Cardinal Simoni. I'm telling you, something's trying to block this whole conference, and we're walking day by day in faith, because we know that we can't look at the things that are trying to rattle us and scare us, because it's very dramatic. If only you knew, it was very dramatic. I had to go to Zach King, because one time when I was praying that warfare prayer, I do as many as I could during the day. And one day I was on my last one. It's exhausting, because it takes everything out of you. And I saw a panther on my left-hand side. And Zach knew what it was all about. He said it was a shapeshifter. And he's like, don't be scared. Get some holy water. Sprinkle it all over the place. You know, they're trying to scare you. I wish Zach was on the show, because he knows all about this stuff. I knew nothing about that. I know about warfare, but I didn't know these little specific things. But
I didn't even know what that was. I mean, you know, you hear that in Hollywood movies, but you don't think that it's real. But I can imagine that, like, in the spiritual world, in terms of like the types of demons that attack you when you're doing more important things, it gets more complicated. There's more out there than many of us are aware of.
One person on the team, a car by a split second, she was saved from being her leg being taken out, because she was getting out of her car and it just rammed into her. She was hospitalized, but you know, we have been so loaded up with prayer that she did have pain, but nothing that is permanent. Me, I was hit by a car while I was in the car. I was sitting parking there, and somebody hit me, and it was in the parking lot. And, you know, it's one thing after another, but, you know, at the end of the day, we know sometimes this is the price it takes in order for a greater good to happen. And the greater good is the love of the people of God. If he wants to do such an incredible thing, we're in cooperation with it, but we also know that we need help. we desperately need help from the laity to pray, pray, pray. And I think it's the smartest thing to invoke the holy souls in purgatory, because what comes to my mind was Isaiah, when Isaiah was caught up in, before the throne of God, and he said, I have unholy lips from an unholy people. So he, being as holy as he was, how much more for us? And so it's the people that made it through the finish line, that's already in glory in the company of God, that could invoke God so much faster, just like what you've been trying to spread around with the holy souls. So we really have to invoke them, because it's the cycle. You know, we help them go into heaven, and once they're in glory, they help us, and it goes on and on. And that's how God keeps us a family and connected and holding hands with each other. Different realms, but very much connected.
I'm asking good, everybody that. I think again, for people to just become aware of what an incredible opportunity this conference is. You know, the highlight of it, obviously, the fact that it's going to be an exorcism conference, that's the only theme. I don't know of other conferences. You know, I would imagine that would be one talk, but this is the central theme. And along with that, just this opportunity for a worldwide exorcism. For those that maybe haven't heard, give us kind of the nutshell version of Cardinal Simone, and how is it that he's an exorcist, and what is he able to do?
He's 96 years old. He's from Albania, and he lived through the persecution of the church, where he, in 1963, performed a mass. And during the mass, he was taken, and he was supposed to be killed for that. You know, he was persecuted, but instead they threw him into jail, and he stayed in jail for 28 years. And in jail, he did so much good. He brought the Eucharist from the crumbles of his bread and distributed to the people, giving them hope. He also cleansed them through and strengthened them, healed them through the sacrament of confession in the confines of that prison. So they had heaven in that prison.
Yeah.
It's an incredible thing. So he suffered the cruelty of those years. And when he got out, you know, he had already had all these gifts, but it was just multiplied, the gift of healing, the gift of this exorcism, and so many other things. And did I ever tell you that he gets messages from Padre Pio?
You had said that. Tell us a little bit about that. You know, because sometimes people hear this and they may be skeptical, but think about it. Someone that for the faith was not only, you know, was not only just a layperson, he was a priest, suffered in jail for 28 years. If there's people out there that these things happen to, you would think it would be someone like this, you know, this type of character. So tell us about this particular gift that he has.
His nephew told me that when he goes into ecstasy, Padre Pio appears to him and gives him instruction. So at the time that he fell and he looked like he was on his deathbed, his nephew said Padre Pio could appear to him and he could be healed fast like that, you know, a snap of a finger. And he was healed very, very fast. It's just these hurdles that we're going through. Yeah. And he's so ready, willing, and able to do these prayers over people. You saw a lot of people saw in Medjugorje, he didn't stay long, but he did do those prayers. And he has very incredible privileges that Pope Francis gave him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, typically, and maybe people don't know this, but whenever someone, just kind of like when someone's a pastor, they have jurisdiction over a particular parish. Likewise, if they're an exorcist, they're giving a jurisdiction just like a police officer would. You can't just go and do exorcisms anywhere.
Right.
But he's unique. Perhaps, I don't know if there's others in the world. Right. And so he has universal jurisdiction, correct?
Yeah. Yes. And the thing is that, you know, people have a hard time believing the possibilities that could happen with this, but why don't we just let God do what he can do? Cause he could do anything for those who believe anything is possible, you know, and people are just limiting God. And if God wants to cleanse this world in an incredible, fast way, in a way we can't even understand, like he brought the Messiah into a world that was not typical through a virgin. That, you know, people couldn't fathom that. So he could do anything. God could do anything. Let's just not limit God, you know? So
sometimes people in the comments will say, you know, what happens with the people that maybe like they're not ready to receive this? And one of my responses has been, well, that's our responsibility, that that we who are aware of that possibility need to be praying for all the people that will be receiving this prayer, anyone that will be hearing, anyone that will be affected by this. We need to be in advance praying for those people so that when that exorcism takes place, they're able to take hold of the grace and convert fully and not just have a moment, but able to go through. Kind of like when people talk about the illumination of conscience, you know, we should prepare for that, because just because that's going to happen doesn't mean everyone will convert. Some will reject it, but that doesn't mean that God isn't going to do it.
Right. Right.
You know, so we need to prepare, maybe not just ourselves, but especially those that are non-believers right now, that who knows what graces they can receive from this.
Yes. And the way I visually see it, you know, in a very simplistic way, is that these exorcists, these gifted exorcists, are like specialized surgeons removing, you know, something out of people, but in a spiritual way. Now, I don't know if it's classified as an exorcism, but when the Blessed Mother appeared to me, demons were removed. I don't know if it was an exorcism, but she stepped on the serpent's head. She's a patron saint of exorcists. And I mean, the Worldwide Exorcist Association, they use her as a patron saint. So when she appeared to me, it was instant. That's not typical, is it? No, that's why I believe so much that God could do anything he wants to do. From one moment I was this way and another moment I was in the light. And one moment I rejected God and anything that was holy, I mocked it. I had a spirit of mocking. And then the next moment I was doing rosary upon rosary and I was reading the Bible and diving into the faith, going to three masses a day.
Yeah, God can do anything. I think we should remember that that if you believe in the Eucharist, that's more incredible than anything that could ever happen. So if you believe that that can happen, you should be able to believe that the dead can be raised, that a worldwide exorcism, that people can be converted, that that limbs can be regrown miraculously. I mean, because that all that is less than a piece of bread becoming God.
Yes.
You know, so sometimes people just don't see that as the miracle that it is. And so they think, well, no, I can't, I don't believe that a worldwide exorcism, that's ridiculous. But the Eucharist, some would argue that's even more ridiculous, but yet we believe it.
I know. And people walked away from it when Jesus was telling him them. Yeah. And, you know, the thing with us is that we already know because scripture is out, and then scripture was not out. So when these people had these miraculous things happening and it was impending, like a miracle was about to happen, and do you believe I could do it? Jesus would ask. And one person said, help my unbelief. That's all we have to do. Help my unbelief. I want to believe. I want to have faith. That's all we need to do. With an open, earnest heart, God will give it to you. He wants you to experience miracles. He wants you to be healed. He wants you to see people cleansed of evil spirits. He wants his children. He's the most loving of all fathers.
Some people may wonder, how are people of other languages going to understand? You kind of talk to me a little bit about this. Tell us some of the work you've been doing with that.
Yes, one day I was like having one of those moments, and now we could translate into French, Spanish, Italian, and Portuguese, with English being the default. And it'll be on the subtitles and spoken. So it's like no other time in history can we do the reverse of Babel. we could give it so that people could understand. I wish we could have more languages. We just don't have the funds. But that's a lot. That's a large part of the population.
Yeah, yeah, you know? That's going to hit a huge chunk of people.
Yes, yes.
For sure. And that's incredible. Tell us about some of like the good graces that you've been seeing, like some of the blessings that have happened, because that's also, you know, a way that we understand, wow, God is, not only is there spiritual attacks, which means the devil hates it, but then we see the good things that God has done. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I see the miracles every single day. Like whenever there is an attack or there's some kind of hurdle, I go into prayer, and our team does too. We have a team that prays the activation prayer I told you about.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it clears up and we see the Red Sea part in that moment. And it brings us to such joy. That joy was not there before. It's a result of the presence of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit. So that alone, day by day, seeing that joy come rushing in, that is miraculous to us, because seeing all these disastrous things happen, you know, you know, if you didn't believe that God could do it, then you would be stuck there. But since we say, Holy Spirit, do your thing. God, this is yours. This is not ours. If this doesn't work, then it's yours. I mean, we put it back on you. You know, maybe we're given these gigantic things just to show how little we are. And that when we give it back to God, he shows his power.
Yeah. You know? I think that maybe people are afraid of really putting their faith to the test of really, like in the good sense, testing their faith. Maybe they'll only tend to do things that they can do on their own, instead of things that are like, okay, I there's no way I can do this. God will have to intervene. But some of us, you know, maybe they haven't had these experiences. And this is also like an invitation for you to step out in faith, you know, maybe go to this conference or do other things, not just, you know, living your life limiting God and what he can do for you.
Yes. Amen. I just really want to share that I don't want people to think that this is a dramatic thing where, oh, there's going to be an exorcism on stage and everybody's going to see, you know, the drama of it. It's not that. It's about protecting your family, protecting your children. If you've already have seen something in your family or yourself, or something can be done, because our church takes care of it all. We have such an immense church that covers everything, because God is that big, and God is the one who authored our church. You know, it's nothing about like taking someone's free will away and saying, I'm going to do an exorcism on you, and that's my word. No. It has nothing to do with that. I don't know why I'm getting that from people. There's such a misunderstanding, you know? People want to be freed. And if they want to be freed, they ask.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, if someone is doing a one-on-one exorcism, it's most likely a person that's, you know, to some degree possessed. And then they're going through the lengthy, which it's never dramatic. People imagine an exorcism to be exciting. And when you really read descriptions, it takes a long time. It could take 1 to 2 or more years. It could be very boring, repetition of prayers. Like, it's not as exciting as the movies make it sound, you know? So that's one thing, that it's much more subtle and nuanced. But this is different. I mean, I imagine it that he's going to have a specific prayer that he's going to pray. And think about it. Like, if you had the chance to meet a very holy exorcist that was going to pray a general prayer of deliverance over your family, well, this is it, except it's over the whole world and over everyone listening, you know, and that's rare to come by. I don't run into exorcists every day. Maybe you do, you know, so I think people should see this, that that's what it's going to be like. We're going to be hearing that prayer, and perhaps we can call to mind and to our hearts, Lord, I want to be delivered of this. And in this sense, think of the sins you struggle with, the addictions, the things going on in your family, the blockages, like blockages of unbelief, you know, of unforgiveness, of depression, like all these, where any of these may be evil spirits that are just attached for so many years. It's this type of thing.
Yes. It's deliverance. It's, you know, deliverance is good. People, don't be legalistic. It's a good thing. God wants his children safe, you know, and to be able to have that freedom to be who they really are.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we should not be afraid God mm-hmm. has power and he can do this. And it's the enemy who's afraid. I think yes. we should always be aware of, we shouldn't quench the spirit and say, no, God can't do that. Sometimes when people say that, I think, what is it that you want? If the Pope were doing this, would you be okay with this? Are you the Pope? Does the Pope need permission from you? Yes. He doesn't need permission from us. Exactly. A cardinal does not need permission from you or I. Like, they can do what they want. And universal jurisdiction literally means he can do an exorcism wherever he wants.
Yeah. With the permission of the Pope.
Yeah. And he's getting it. So maybe talk a little bit about that. What, you know, because you were telling me earlier, he's not just, you know, like a lone ranger.
No.
You know, what paperwork is he coming with? So that, you know, well, for those people that are like, that need to know.
He would not come without the invitation of the cardinal. That's how he stays. And then he gives that invitation to the Pope, or it goes straight to the Pope.
So he has an invitation from which cardinal?
Cardinal Tovin.
So Cardinal Tovin, where is he the cardinal of?
Newark, New Jersey.
Okay. So the cardinal of Newark, New Jersey, he's given yes. the invitation. Any bishop or cardinal has authority over their diocese.
Right.
And then he gives it to Pope Leo.
Yes. Yes.
And what does Pope Leo do?
He says, go.
So there we go. So for all of those, even if you are legalistic, the check boxes have been checked.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. And people should not be afraid. You know, there's still room for people to go in person. But obviously maybe many of you are going to do this online. I'm going to be in Ireland, so I'm going to try to promote this over there for people to watch this.
Yes. Thank you. I mean, God bless you for all the work you're doing. And God bless all the people who pray for the Holy Souls in Purgatory to help us out. I mean, those are powerful prayers coming down, you know?
Yeah. For those, if any people aren't aware, you know, we started with that campaign with when it was coming up with the elections, when President Trump got elected. Yes. And we had like maybe over 5,000 masses then. And then I thought, how could we not do that with the Pope? You know, so we did that then. And like within a day, he was elected. And I like to kind of point out coincidences, you know, like to kind of show like, hey, like it really was them, you know. So all those masses were organized from like mostly American viewers. He's from the United States. So you know, God was saying like, yep, I heard you. He's an Augustinian, the patron saint of the Holy Souls is St. Nicholas of
Tolentine. Oh my gosh, I didn't even know that.
An Augustinian. Another thing is, you know, Pope Leo has like a kind of a strong connection there with St. Michael. And St. Michael is the patron of purgatory. My wife and I, one of our favorite cities in the United States is Chicago. He was from Chicago. For me, that was like, God was like, yep, I heard your prayer. And let me show you that I'm telling you that we heard your prayer. And here's the Pope for the church that it needs right now.
Oh, wow.
So that's how powerful the souls in purgatory are. They can they're the ones that really elected the Pope, basically.
Yes. Yes. So
we can invoke them now, especially for all of this, you know?
Yes, please, everybody join in. I mean, the Lord is going to do something wonderful. We all should hold hands and be part of it.
What's the last obstacle, or what are some of the last obstacles that are remaining?
I don't know if I should even talk about it because I don't want to get in trouble.
Okay. So then maybe,
but it's very maybe, big. Yeah. It's the hugest one of all.
Okay.
So let's just say that it.
Yeah. We could be discreet. That's fine.
Yeah. I have to be discreet, but I just need prayer so badly. I'm a very shy person to ask for prayers, but not in this, because I know we need prayers and I know how powerful when we pray together, and then even higher to the souls in purgatory, as you just demonstrated. We need to do this together. Please, everybody, please. St. Gertrude's prayer.
So let's,
for the Holy Spirit.
Let's close with, you know, sort of like a we could say like one decade of the St. Gertrude, like an Our Father, 10 Eternal Father prayers, and then a Glory Be.
Amen.
And everyone that's watching at this point, please pray along with us. Would that be okay?
That's wonderful. And one more thing. Remember whose feast day it is today.
Immaculate Heart of Mary. So this is all coming from her. I really believe that this is definitely a call. I'll share this kind of really quickly. I was telling you earlier, and I think this is like a call for everyone, but I really felt in my heart, like as a gift from her, this call to be like another St. John the Baptist, to prepare the way of the Lord for his second coming, for unbelievers, for those that don't believe, that we play that role of helping them prepare, doing penance so that they convert. And all of us should do that. But I felt like in a particular way, to me, to kind of that kind of wild call of like, repent from the streets, please, like hurry, it's coming. Change, you know, even if it sounds crazy, if we knew how close it was, we would maybe do crazier things.
Yes. And it's only the people that accepted the spirit of repentance, they got baptized, that were able to see who Jesus was. All the rest kept themselves blind.
They were
the Pharisees.
Blind.
Yeah.
They needed those preparatory graces.
Mm.
In fact, I made a video where I talked about how why is it, and from now I'm going to do it, that before we receive communion, we don't ask St. John the Baptist to help us prepare.
Oh, when, wow.
You know, and I thought like, he's like the master of preparing for Jesus to come. And yet I never thought of until this, you know, this last feast of St. John the Baptist, how could, and now I'm like, I have to invoke him. I usually, it's my guardian angel and the Blessed Mother. I never thought of anyone else. And now he has to be there because that's all he does. That was the only thing he did. That's why he was born.
Yes. Amen. Amen. So we could deposit all of this into her Immaculate Heart so the Son could see it and give it to the Father. And then we'll have, it'll be like, it'll be a no-brainer. It'll be done. It'll be done.
Yeah. So let's pray right now in Our Father, the 10 St. Gertrude prayers, and then a Glory Be.
Yes.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with all the masses set throughout the world today.
For all the souls in purgatory, sinners everywhere, sinners in the universal church, those in my own home and within my family, amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with all the masses set throughout the world today.
For all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, sinners in the universal church, those in my own home and within my family, amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with all the masses set throughout the world today.
For all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, sinners in the universal church, those in my own home and within my family, amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with all the masses set throughout the world today.
For all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, sinners in the universal church, those in my own home and within my family, amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with all the masses set throughout the world today.
For all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, sinners in the universal church, those in my own home and within my family, amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with all the masses set throughout the world today.
For all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, sinners in the universal church, those in my own home and within my family, amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with all the masses set throughout the world today.
For all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, sinners in the universal church, those in my own home and within my family. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with all the masses set throughout the world today.
For all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, sinners in the universal church, those in my own home and within my family. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with all the masses set throughout the world today.
For all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, sinners in the universal church, those in my own home and within my family. Amen.
Eternal Father, I offer you the most precious blood of your divine Son, Jesus, in union with all the masses set throughout the world today.
For all the holy souls in purgatory, for sinners everywhere, sinners in the universal church, those in my own home and within my family. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So Karen, is there, for those that might be struggling financially, is there any possible discount, especially if they're a Uniquely Mary viewer?
Yes, you could use UM15, 15% off, Uniquely Mary, UM15.
Awesome. I know the Irish people will love it. I'll tell them all about it. Praise God. Karen, I think this is going to be something amazing, blessed by Jesus and the Blessed Mother. I cannot Amen. Wait.
Amen. And I just want to show you one thing. You like my shirt?
I love it.
The Child that Jesus. Is
awesome. That is awesome. Maybe send me the link of where you got that and I'll put that in the description.
Okay.
Well, great, my friends. It's been wonderful being with Karen again. I cannot wait to see you at this conference, at least virtually or in some way. I'll see you in the next one.